Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome everybody. We're so glad that you're here with us on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome all of you today and praying for God's special blessing on each of you as we gather in God's presence today. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing in our series for Wisdom for Living Today from the book of Proverbs. So let's begin and let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship. God is gracious and merciful, abounding in love. With all creation, we give thanks to the Lord. Let us sing of God's glory and wonder. Let's join together there, hymn number 29, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We sing the greatness of our God. All three verses.
We sing the greatness of our God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing sea abroad and built the lofty skies. We sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command. But makes thy glories known.
Well, let's join together then for our opening prayer this morning. Awesome God, there is no other like you. Your presence breaks into our lives and refreshes us like a gentle breeze on a hot day. You renew us to meet life's changes and challenges. In this time of worship, we offer our praise to you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite our kids, if they would come down this morning.
Before we take up our offering every Sunday. And that is, it's good to be generous. In other words, give to help people, or give to for the church to continue the ministry in the church and to be able to help people, because the church helps people. Because we have all these mission projects we do. And it's good to be able to do that. In fact, in the Bible, it tells us that when we do that, God blesses us. And that's one of those few areas where it talks about God's blessing us is when we give and help, especially those that are in need and are hurting. So you know what? It's okay to have our piggy banks and save up. And he can buy us some things with that. But you know what? It's also okay to take a little bit of it and maybe help somebody that maybe needs something. You know? All right. You guys can go downstairs.
And as they head down that way, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. Somebody, yes, I see a couple of you.
Just remember the Eder family and the Oldham family. They both lost loved ones.
Okay, make sure. Did you say Eder?
Eder.
And then the other one?
Oldham.
Oh, Oldham, okay. Okay. I don't know if I've heard about either one of those. A lot of times I hear something, but that one. Yeah, so, yes.
Remember, Trevor, he went to school and one Saturday night after having a procedure on his neck and undergoing radiation, and then they took him right back to the hospital after one. And also, remember Ellie? She's got glass in a good foot and swollen up, and she needs her prayers.
Yeah, so we want to definitely remember Trevor as he's going through treatments, and Ellie as she got, I guess, from what they were saying, she stepped on some glass and got glass in her foot, and now she's having problems with that. And so we definitely want to, yes.
Brother Mike had surgery and out of the hospital.
And what was the last? Oh, okay. Yeah, so we want to remember Mike, who is recovering from surgery, and praying for healing and strength for him. Somebody else? Got a couple of them. Go, Carol. Unspoken?
Mike Elsner, a waiting officer, and he's at Grandview Hospital. And we have Jesus but she has no sight.
Okay, so who was the first person's name? Who had the bleeding ulcer?
Mike Elsner.
Okay.
Some people know I was.
Is he the photographer? Oh no, that's Mike. Yeah. Okay. And Jean from her eye, and then who was the last one? I don't really know who that is. Dennis? Oh, yes, I do remember that, yeah. Okay, so Mike and Jean and Dennis, each of them. Yes. You said Richie, right?
Yeah. And plus he is on a donor list for a kidney.
Okay, hold on, because I'm having trouble hearing the people in the back with the air conditioners on. Is Richie the one that's on the donor list, or did you mention another person's name?
We had an accident and he's all
broken. Okay, thank you for, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I always have a harder time hearing people in the back. Unless you're Becky. Oh, sorry. I can pick on her and get away with it, so.
She's done everything. She's really, really
frustrated. Okay, so we want to remember Tammy in our prayers and Richie that was mentioned. Yes.
Lindsay's flying back Tuesday.
Okay, and yep, so safe trips for her. And I saw a couple other hands. Yep. Okay, and let's see, where did I put that at? So two of those now. And anybody else? Yes. Okay, so they're really going to have to pray the treatments work, huh? She said we had prayed for her, I think it was last Sunday, wasn't it? Her friend Linda, they confirmed it's cancer, but it's inoperable. And so we really have to pray that the chemo treatments do their thing there. If any of those, especially some of those long-term illnesses some of you had mentioned today, if you want to put them on the monthly list. Just fill out one of the prayer request things and get it to me or stick it in the offering. And then they usually give them to me after the service. So we can try to do that. Any others then? Lots of needs there to mention. And so hopefully some of those names will jump out to you or you'll remember them and lift them up in prayer while Carla plays. And then I'll come and close us out then. Lord, we are just so grateful for your presence with us, your love in our lives, your grace, and how you work, and your love that extends to us and even to the entire world. I know sometimes we always emphasize God's love for us as disciples, but God loves the entire world. And Lord, we just pray for our world and for those that don't know your love through Jesus Christ, that they would experience that in a special way, however that may come about. And we ask that you would work and do that. And we especially lift up all of those that were mentioned today, especially those that are in need of physical healing today. We think of Linda today. For Tammy today, for Richie today, for Trevor today, for Ellie, for Mike, for the other Mike, Lord, for Jean, and for Dennis today, God. We just ask for your healing grace, your touch. Lord, some of these really need a miracle today, and we ask that you would extend your hand of healing and grace. And through the medicine and through the wisdom of the doctors and however you want to see to do that, Lord. And we just entrust them into your hands today and are very thankful and grateful for that. Lord, we lift up the Etter family and Oldham family, Lord, with the loss of these loved ones. We ask for your grace, your peace, and your comfort to be extended to them during this time right now. Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs that were mentioned, Lord. We know that you know the what those are. And we ask that you would extend your grace and hand there today. Lord, we lift up Lindsay today as she's going to be traveling. Be with her and give her traveling mercies. And Lord, we also lift up others within our community of faith, some that may be on vacation and traveling right now. Whatever may be the case, that you will watch over them and extend your traveling mercies and grace with all of them over the next few months here, and bring them back safely to be with us and worship again. And we're thankful for all of these things and for hearing us today. We ask your blessing upon the rest of our time together as we worship together, as we break the bread of your word, as we share at the table the bread and the cup. May your presence be so real to us in those moments together as we sit at your feet and learn from you and receive from you as you extend your grace into our lives and your love and your peace and your presence. I thank you for that today, Lord. Lord, if there's been ones that have come in today carrying heavy burdens, and that they need your peace and they need to lay down those burdens today, may they do it in this moment right now. We lay them at your feet, Lord, and thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and that we have peace that passes all understanding. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us in prayer today, and I hope you were able to maybe lay down anything you were carrying. I don't know why I felt that so strong at the end of the prayer there, and receive of his yoke that's light and easy today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and we are so grateful and thankful for God's blessings into our lives and provision, and that we are able to be a blessing. And so as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our dedication. Gracious God, receive our gifts as tokens of our gratitude. Bless them so they may become seeds of generosity, meeting needs in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from several verses once again. If you happen to grab the sermon outline, you can see all the verses that are listed there. And as we continue, and I'm not going to name all the verses we're going to read. I'm just going to begin reading there from various verses from the book of Proverbs. Laziness brings poverty. Hard work makes one rich. The wise gather in the summer. The disgraceful sleeps right through the harvest. The wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The earnings of the faithful lead to life. The earnings of the faithless leads to offense. The blessings of the Lord make rich, and no striving adds to it. The Lord detests rigged scales, but delights in accurate weights. Riches will do you no good on the day of disaster, but integrity can save your life. Those who give generously receive more. But those who are stingy with what is appropriate will grow needy. People curse those who hoard grain, but they bless those who sell it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The faithful run to it and find refuge. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. In their imagination, it is like a high wall. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be smart enough to stop. Give me only my portion of food, lest I be full and say, "Who is the Lord?" That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word. And that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. I'm sure you've heard this one before, but I thought I would share it. It's been a while. A man and his wife were having an argument about who should brew the coffee in the morning. The wife said, "You should do it because you get up first. And then we don't have to wait as long to get our coffee." The husband said, "You're in charge of cooking around here, and you should do it because that is your job, and I just can't wait for my coffee." The wife replies, No, you should do it. Besides, in the Bible, it tells us that a man should brew the coffee. The husband says, "Oh, come on, I can't believe that. Show me." So she opened up her Bible and opened up to the New Testament and showed him at the top of the page, it says, "He brews." I know, Jim Pence would have loved that one. Yes. We are continuing our series on wisdom for living from the book of Proverbs. Last week, we looked at the issue of anger. We considered how anger can be dangerous, how it affects our bodies, how it affects community, relationships, and our wills. We also considered how anger can be good if it's slow, controlled, dealing with a cause, or in some cases, we may need our anger healed for whatever reason that may involve. Today, we are going to consider another one of those topics that is all over the place in the book of Proverbs, and that is the topic of wealth or money. Here's the thing I want you to think a little bit about this, and you know this. This is not going to surprise you at all. It is possible if we follow the rules regarding wealth and money, what is legal, and follow others' advice in all areas of investment and all of those kind of things, that we can still end up with loss and or financial problems. In Proverbs this morning, the wise sage looks at wealth in two ways. In fact, you might say two sides of wealth, or two sides of a coin of wealth, if you can think of it this way. There's a negative side and there's a positive side. And as I was sharing a little bit with the kids there this morning. So let's look at those this morning. And we'll begin with the negative side first. And that is this. Wealth can be destructive. Wealth can be destructive. Wealth and money has the power to destroy integrity. Now, I don't think we're surprised at this. We've seen situations in life and people we know where money has gotten them in trouble and so forth. But I want to remind you, and this has really kind of hit me this week, from chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord detests, or if you go back to the some of the old versions, it says it's an abomination to the Lord. So the Lord detests rigged scales, but delights in accurate weights. What does that mean? What's that talking about there? Well, rigged scales, everything in the ancient world was dealt with by weighing things out. You weigh things out. You know, remember the old days when you had the scale and it would tip and you'd put a couple weights over here? The most common one that we still somewhat use to this day is when we weigh pigs, cattle, and stuff like that. Now, yes, I know we have all the digital ones today, and it just, you put them on the scales and immediately it gives you a number. But how many of you remember the old scales that you used to use to weigh your livestock that had the little pieces that you stuck in there, and each one of those was worth so much weight, and then it would give you it would do a balancing thing? That's what it's talking about here. And in the ancient Near East, everything was weighed out like that so they could charge people for goods. And so rigged scales refers to people exploiting their customers, friends, or neighbors. Because it's not like today, people didn't travel miles to come to Joe's farm to buy something. It was usually within the village, in the community area there, that they would do this kind of thing that would go on. And what I think the wisdom teacher is trying to get us to see is such practices indicate that they have already lost their integrity if they are doing those kind of things and it's not pleasing to God. Now, that raises all kinds of questions about how we do business in our world today. I worked for companies where they said to do this, do that, don't say this, don't say that, because the whole idea was the bottom line. And the bottom line was money. We all know that. I know we live in this world and it's a lot like that. It's hard for us to get away from that. But I couldn't get away from that language about how God detests that. And there's only a few places in all of the Bible where it says God detests things. And this is one of them, exploiting people. Money or wealth has the power to destroy integrity. Money or wealth has the power to destroy people's lives. So yes, if we push those things to the extreme, we can see ripping off people could cause them, their families, to starve or something else there. Here's 11, chapter 11, verse 26. People curse those who hoard grain, but they bless those who sell it. Now, this is an interesting thing here. It's not really necessarily talking about local farmers selling their things. It's talking about those who would be distributing and those that would be trading and overseas. So what happened is local farmers would sometimes sell goods to a trader who would take it off into other areas and lands and trade it off. And the idea is that these traders or distributors would refuse to sell grain during tough, difficult times, i.e. like a famine, in order to drive prices up. And the idea there, the warning there, is you may find yourself on the end of people's curses. Now, wait a minute, you might be saying, are you saying that certain monopoly practices that might be starving people, while some seem to be getting away with it and making lots of money, that thing is wrong? Yes, that's what it's saying there. And again, because in those instances, profit is put above people. And this is clearly a negative side of it. Third thing here. Wealth has the power to distract us from what is important. Chapter 11, verse 4, riches will do you no good on the day of disaster, but honesty or integrity can save your life. And then that verse we read, 23:4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to stop. Now, let me just say something about that verse here before I go on. It's not saying that you don't stop working or making money. It's saying that you stop wearing yourself out ragged working. Have you ever met people that are just consumed with making money? And they work and they work and they work and they never stop working. And they ignore their families and they drive themselves into the hospital or to a heart attack or whatever you want to say. Today, we call them A personality types, type A personalities. They just can't slow down. And as I was thinking about that, I started to think, what really matters in our lives? What is important to us? We work hard to get ahead. And sometimes in that process, we end up missing out on what really matters. We probably have all done it at one time or another. And so here's some things to think about. What difference am I making in the world? Who am I really helping? What contributions can I make to make a difference? See, here's the thing. If we're not careful, wealth can blind us to these kinds of questions because it keeps us in that never-ending cycle of I need more. I need more. Which can be destructive if not careful. Or can be wiped out in a moment's notice, in a disaster. Wealth has the power to distract us from what really matters. And then wealth can make us arrogant. Chapter 18, verses 10 through 11. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The just run to it and find refuge. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. In their imaginations, it's like a high wall. What's the poet trying to tell us there? the righteous, the faithful, the just run to the Lord and find refuge and protection from the Lord. But the wealthy will run to their wealth because they think in their head it is what will save them. That's the whole idea there. And the idea is that if we're not careful, we can become arrogant to the point where in chapter 30 it says, "Give me only my portion of bread, lest I be full." Notice what the contrast that's going on there. "Lest I be full," if I'm full and have it all, "and say, who's the Lord?" Well, guess what? Those are the same words that the Pharaoh in Egypt said to Moses in the book of Exodus. Remember what was going on? The Pharaoh was saying, or Moses was saying, "The Lord is saying, let my people go, or these things are going to start happening." And in his arrogance, the Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? I don't know this Lord you're talking about. Who are you?" In contrast to that. And the point is, we don't want to become like the Pharaoh, who has become so conceited and arrogant in all of his power and wealth and everything that he has, that God is no longer significant in our lives. Watch out, lest we put our trust in our wealth over trusting in God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't work hard. That doesn't mean we don't save. That doesn't mean we don't invest in all of those things. It's about perspective and wisdom in all of these things. And the wise understand these warnings and try to avoid them so they stay on the right path. What's that right path? Well, wealth can be a blessing. Wealth can be a blessing. And here's what I want you to see about this. And this may seem so contradictory to just what we said, but it's perspective again. Wealth creation is part of God's will. I don't know if you knew that or not. Look at chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Laziness brings poverty. Hard work makes one rich. The wise gather in the summer. The disgraceful sleeps right through the harvest. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and no striving adds to it. The wise understand that God is our source of blessing. Yet, hard work, insight, ingenuity, creativity, wisdom, self-control, discipline are all part of the prospering progress. Why? Because we were made to create wealth. It's interesting, out of all the religions in the world, Christianity and Judaism teaches us a very unique view about wealth creation. Genesis gives us a unique view on the material world. God made our world beautiful and good so we could enjoy its blessings and care for it. We have the blessings of this world because we care for it and work hard. And as we increase our wealth, guess what? We must even more so be responsible and caring for this world so that it continues to be a blessing to us that God had originally established for the world and creation and enjoy its blessings. Wealth creation is part of God's will. And then the last thing there, the faithful use their wealth for life. This one here kind of jumped out at me because I'd never seen it expressed that way before. Chapter 10, verse 16, the earnings of the faithful lead to life. And then 11:24, those who are generous, or literally it says scatters freely, receive more. But those who are stingy, or in the Hebrew, tight-fisted with what is appropriate, will grow needy or depleted. That's some interesting language there, isn't it? Wealth in the hands of the faithful and just brings positive outcomes. That's what it's saying. It's saying that when you are a wise, just person, you will use your blessings to bring life and positive outcomes to others. Because they understood the power of generosity, not only for their own lives, but for the community of faith and for others in need. Now, I could go on another half hour and tell you everything Jesus and Paul said about these things. Because they said almost the exact same things. Let me just read one of them to you. Paul, 2 Corinthians 9:6. In the context when he is asking the Corinthian church to give to the need in Jerusalem because of the famine that had passed through in the first century and how desperate some of the early Christians were. He said this, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." What's the idea there? Those who look out for the common good are truly blessed. The big thing here is, as I said earlier, keep it all in perspective. Don't let wealth or money destroy our integrity, people's lives, or distract us from what is important or make us arrogant. Rather, God blesses us for a reason, so that we can be generous and extend life to others. Use it wisely. The power of money and wealth. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts to share in communion this morning. And so we want to be able to give all of us that opportunity to experience the presence of the Lord this morning at the table and experience Jesus together. As we do, we always prepare our hearts with our prayer of thanksgiving and confession. And so I'm going to invite and direct our attention to the PowerPoint there as we do that this morning, and invite you to pray with me this morning. God of grace and glory, giver of all that we have, thank you for your amazing grace and your abundant love. Shower us with your mercy and forgiveness. When we neglect to give generously as we have received, forgive our selfishness. When we neglect our health and wellness, heal us with your love. When we neglect or harm your world and its peoples, reveal your justice and mercy, that we may be forgiven and reconciled with you and with all your creation. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is gracious and slow to anger and extends grace and love and mercy to all of us. So receive of the Lord today as we share at the table this morning. I'm going to ask our deacons and deaconesses that are coming this morning to help us out, if they would make their way as we prepare to share at the table this morning.
Jesus had, when they were together, had taken the bread and broke it and gave it and gave thanks and said, this body, or this bread, this, my body which is shed for you, take it and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake this morning. Later, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and gave thanks and passed it to him and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake. Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, turn around, maybe shake a hand, and then we will go right into singing our last little chorus there before we close out this morning. PowerPoint, blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fountain.
Join together for our benediction. Go in the strength of the Lord. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.